Through the debates and policy changes, the KNR industry not only survived, but thrived. Then came September 11th, 2001, which changed the terms of the whole discussion. Rather than challenging the KNR industry as a whole, governments increasingly sought to draw a clearer distinction between criminal groups, to whom ransom could legally be paid, and terror groups, to whom it could not. The US and UK governments both maintained lists of foreign terrorist organisations who could not receive ransom payments. In industry parlance, these groups were designated as proscribed. This attempt to draw distinctions between criminal and terrorist organisations raised many tricky questions. It was clear that KNR policies could not reimburse policyholders who pay the ransom to a terrorist group. But could security consultants handle negotiations? Could they help families to raise and assemble the funds? And what about the families themselves? Would they be held legally liable for paying ransom to terrorists? It's all a grey area, Milner acknowledged. Further complicating the process is the fact that kidnappers often try to hide their identity. Hostage negotiators told me that some terror groups pretend to be criminal organisations so that they can collect ransoms. The opposite also occurs. Criminal groups who are ignorant of the legal prohibitions sometimes pretend to be terror organisations in the hopes that the fearsome reputation of these groups will push negotiations along. Under the law, the onus is on the insurance company to demonstrate that kidnappers are proscribed in order to invalidate the policy. Negotiators working for the victim's family would sometimes refrain from asking obvious questions about the group holding the hostage. They simply preferred not to know.